So we are coming to the concluding portion of the Narada's instructions on Srimad Bhagavatam in this chapter, where Narada is concluding the pastime of how the Bhaktivedantas, who came to his place when he was the son of a maid servant, and he rendered them seva, and he heard Krishna Katha from them, served them, and in this way he became awakened in his devotional service. And now they were all taking leave now. And he says here that they all instructed him in that most confidential subject, which is instructed by the personality of Godhead himself. In the path of religion, especially in attainment of salvation, which is the ultimate goal of life, there are so many people giving so many paths, so many people talking about so many different ways to attain God, and everyone claims to be giving the truth. And there are so many religions, first of all, and even if one takes Sanatana Dharma, Sanatana Dharma itself is so vast. So some religious preachers, reformers or leaders, they came up with the slogan, Yato Mat Tato Path. Whatever path you want to accept, that is all right, because ultimately all paths lead to the same goal. This is one of the most common things that Indians quote. You can follow any god, any religion, there is no problem. Ultimately everything is one. Nowhere the scriptures say this. There is a verse in Vishwapanishad, very clear verse. It says, one result is achieved by worshipping that which is supreme, and another result is achieved by worshipping that which is not supreme. Very clearly it says this. There is only one supreme God. And if that God is not properly understood, and if one is in bewilderment, in an illusion, tries to practice some kind of mumbo-jumbo religion, and expects that I will achieve the same result, one will not achieve. So it's very important to understand the true religious principles and true conclusions of the scriptures. It's very vital if one wants to attain the supreme goal. So Prabhupada would give a very simple example. If you take a ticket to Calcutta, how can you go to Chennai? If you have to go to Chennai, you have to take a Chennai ticket. If you want to go to Calcutta, take a Calcutta ticket. If one says you go to the railway station, buy any ticket to any place, all tickets lead to the same place. What a foolish idea it is. Every train, there may be many trains which look similar. But you sit in one of the trains, it will take you to one particular destination. Another train which leads you to another destination. So, it's only the foolish people who are doing some showbottle religion who say that all paths lead to the same goal. In fact, different paths can take one to different levels of understanding of God, like different rungs on a ladder. Some so-called religious paths may be so irreligious sometimes, it may even make a person glide down to hell. In the name of religion, there are so many people who are cheating the gullible masses. So, it's very important that one knows the conclusions of the scriptures very clearly before one gives one's head or bows down to the authority. Now, all religions, you will see, demand absolute surrender. For example, Christianity, they have something called as baptizing a person. You take a person inside the water, sprinkle some water on his head, and then he has become a sold-out slave or the priest, and then he becomes a member of the church. Similarly, in every religion, there is some kind of diksha, some kind of initiation into the spiritual process. And many people, foolishly, without having earned the knowledge from the guru, they are more fond of taking diksha. Or they have the zeal. They have such a high amount of spiritual zeal that they feel that anything will be all right. I just want Diksha. I just want to be initiated in the spiritual path. And as early as possible, without having to understand what is the goal of life, who is God, what is truth, what is not. Especially in India, we can find that people are extremely eager. So because of that, they follow so many blind leaders, and blind leading the blind, all falling into ditch. Andayatande rupaniyamana stepishatantrayam urdam dipanda. They are falling into the ditch. So, any sane person should certainly want to know the truth, hear the truth from the Guru. In fact, it is said, Guru is one who takes one from the material world to the spiritual world. He is like the boat which takes a person from material world to spiritual world. So, it's very rare that one is fortunate to get a Vaishnava Guru who can enlighten the person about the ultimate truth and indicate to him that here is the truth and surrender to the truth. And one can surrender. The problem is, so many other things come in between. Like if there is a religious leader who is eager for earning name and fame. So, if he has become popular, he has to tell some falsity to keep himself popular amongst the masses. So, many people give sub-religious principles as the ultimate religion. They don't teach, like there are many, many famous preachers who come on TV in the morning. Whole India hears them. Lakhs and crores of people hear them. They say the ultimate dharma is to serve one's mother and father. And there are also very great religious leaders who hardly speak. They only give darshan. For their darshan, sometimes lakhs of people come. And if they rarely speak, like one of such South Indian religious leaders was speaking in a college where he was invited. He told all the students, your goal of life is to become a great scientist and send rockets to other planets. He's a very great religious leader from South. He's quite famous. So you can see that this is the kind of conclusion of the religion they are preaching. You can see that. So, and also such leaders cheat the innocent public, and the public also wants to cheat God by not taking the religion in a wholehearted way. They only want to take religion partially. They only take, they say, they also go for such lectures and say, well done, they clap hands and go back home and they're watching movie in TV. And they're also doing all sorts of sense gratification. And they have nothing to give and take with God very seriously. So the public is simply cheated by such leaders. So the leaders cheat themselves and cheat the public. In this way, the real religion remains hidden. As it is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam 10th canto, there is an example given there. How the beautiful moon shines in the sky, but there are so many Kali Yuga clouds that cover up the moon of Krishna conscious wisdom in the age of Kali Yuga. Sometimes you see the moon has the capability to give such a bright light, but the moon is covered by the clouds, and some small, small stars, they proclaim to be the light givers. Enlighteners in the sky. But of course, sometimes by the movement of the cloud, the moon comes out, the real moon, and then people can get the light in the night. Similarly, even in this age of Kali Yuga, when so many bogus religions are being passed as religions and are carrying lakhs of followers, sometimes the Krishna conscious society, which is like the moon, also comes out and gives light to the suffering souls of Kali Yuga. And in the Krishna conscious society, what is so special about it? Srila Prabhupada, the founder acharya of our society, is also a Bhaktivedanta Swami. He spells out the truth in clear terms. There is no ambiguity, exactly as Krishna speaks. Here there is a talk going on about the confidential knowledge. See, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita last chapter, in concluding Bhagavad Gita and winding up the Bhagavad Gita knowledge, where Krishna is saying, iti te jnanam akhyatam guhyat guhyataram maya bumrushyaitad asheshena yathechasita thakuru. My dear Arjuna, the most confidential of all knowledge I am giving you. Now analyze it thoroughly. Mamrishayatat means analyze it thoroughly. And yatechasitatakuru. And then you decide what you want to do. I am not demanding you to surrender blindly. But I have given you the knowledge. And then Vimarishayatat means to analyze it. And then here he is saying, Sarva Guhyatamam Bhuya. Guhya means confidential. Guhyatara means more confidential. Guhyatama means most confidential. Sarva Guhyatamam means most confidential of all knowledge. Sarva Guhyatamam Bhuya. Shrunu me paramam vachaha. Here, my, me means my, paramam, supreme, vachaha, instruction. I am giving you the most supreme, I am giving you the supreme instruction, Arjuna, which is the most confidential of all knowledge. What more you want? And then he is saying, why am I giving you? Ishtosi me, because you are very dear to me. Dridhamiti, you are extremely dear to me, my dear Arjuna, you are such a dear friend of mine. So what am I doing? Ishtosi me dridhamiti. Therefore, I am giving you this knowledge. Te hitam. I am always desiring your welfare. That's why I am giving you this knowledge. Directly I am giving you. So after putting this prelude, in the next verse Krishna says, Manmana bhava madbhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru mame vashyasi satyam te pati jane priyosime. So here he is saying, my dear Arjuna, what you should do in order to practice the ultimate religious principles, manmana. So you simply think of me in the form of Krishna. Mava madbhakto, become my devotee. Madhyaji, worship me. Offer your obeisances to me. If you do all these instructions, if you fulfill them very carefully, these are the components of surrender that Krishna is talking about. And then he says, surely you will come back to me, Arjuna, without fail, because you will become very dear to me by doing all these things. So this is what Krishna calls as sarva guhyatamam bhuya. Shrunume. Why he uses the word bhuya again? Because he gave the same instruction in the 9th chapter, 34th verse. Manmana bhava madbhakto madhya jima namaskuru. There he said, mame vaishyas yuktvaivam atmanam matparayana. So this verse, verbatim is repeated in the, first line is repeated in the 18th chapter again. So if you see 9.34, the 9th chapter is the middle chapter of 18 chapters. And he has kept in the middle chapter. Out of 18 chapters, the middle 6 are considered to be the essence of Bhagavad Gita. The first 6 are karma, last 6 are jnana, and the middle is bhakti is kept in the essential part. And in that, the 9th chapter is the middle. It's like in a bread, you have the jam. Generally, nobody likes the bread so much as you like the jam. Some people would like to have a little more of jam, isn't it? After finishing the jam in between the bread. So the jam is the devotional service which is kept in the 7 to 12 chapters, if you see. In that, the 9 chapters in the middle, so it is the essence of Bhagavad Gita, is this verse. 9.34, Manmana Bhakto. And then Lord Krishna repeats this in the 18th chapter again. Although he has already said the essence, again he is repeating this verse. And before telling, he is telling him, I am going to tell you something important. Sarva guhyatamam bhuya shrunume paramam vachaha, the supreme instruction I am giving you. So, sometimes when you are talking to a person, you tell the person, wait a minute, now I am going to tell you something important, hear attentively. You say that, right? Like you may talk many casual things to a person, and even if he doesn't take trouble to remember them, you may not mind. But sometimes you are very strict. You tell the person, wait a minute, now are you attentive now? So, now I am going to tell you something very important. Do you have a paper and pen? Note down, you may say. Sometimes, like the Krishna is saying, I am going to give you one instruction which I gave you long before, again. And it is sarva guhyatamam bhuya. It's the most confidential of all instruction. Because you are very dear to me, I am giving. I won't give it to anybody and everybody. Because I always, I think of your welfare, I am giving you. And then he is giving. In fact, now Arjuna may say, what is this Krishna you are saying, manmanabha, all these things you are saying, but then you gave so many chapters on how to perform Ashtanga Yoga, keeping your nose straight, sitting on, shichodeshe, patishtha, pesteram asanam atmanaha, na uchitam, natanisham, all that you taught. how to perform Ashtanga Yoga, how to perform Jnana Yoga, how to perform Karma Yoga. So Arjuna may argue, right? You gave all the different type of knowledge. So how can I give up all that? Is it not important for me to practice a little bit of each of those things? And then next verse Krishna says, Sarva Dharman Parityajya. He says, I have given you many, many different types of knowledge till now, but to give it up all. And what do you do? Mam Ekam Sharanam Braja. Surrender only to me. And you don't have to surrender to any other path. Only surrender unto me. Earlier Krishna said in one verse that if one wants to completely become fixed up in the path of devotion service, then what should one do? Yesham tu antakatam papam jananam punya karmanam. You have to be a punya karmanam. We should have done heaps and heaps of punya. You have to be a punya atma. And you should also be yesham tu antakatam papam. You should not have got any quota of sinful reactions pending. Everything should be finished completely. So your pap karma is finished and punya karma is practically infinite. You have done a lot. And then he says, in that stage what will happen to you? Te dvandva moha nirmukta. You become free from the dvandva of sukha, dukkha, shita, ushna, mana, paman, everything. And bhajante maam dridavrata. You will become very fixed in my devotion service. Now Arjuna may have a question. Okay Krishna, I may give up all those different paths which you taught me. But then I think it's now time for me to work on, first of all, becoming pure. Because I have to become purified of all sinful reactions. And I have to become a punyatma first. And then I will become your devotee. Now let me travel to all holy places, tirthasthalas, take dip in 24 crore waters of Rameshwaram. Isn't it? I will travel here and there and then let me become a punyatma and then come to you. Then Krishna says, no Arjuna, don't waste your time. Aham tvam sarva papyebhyo moksha yishyami. I will deliver you from all sins. Don't practice yajna, dana, tapa or anything like that. Just surrender to me. And I will take care of all your sins. To cleanse your sins is my job, that is not your job. He is saying, you just surrender to me. So you can see, this is the supreme instruction of Krishna. Prabhupada says how, although the religious injunctions are so many, and sometimes they even contradict with one another, many times, and they are very difficult to understand, they are very grave and deep. So this instruction of Krishna is so lucid and straightforward. Krishna is standing in front of Arjuna, in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, in his two-handed form. And he's telling Arjuna, touching his own chest, Manmana, think of me, become my devotee. So one should think of this form of Krishna, the two-handed form of Krishna, wearing the peacock feather, in his threefold bending form of Rajendranandan. This form of Krishna, which is most Saumya form, which Arjuna explained also. And one should do some prescribed duties, which is required for keeping body and soul together. But that is not the main business in this world. Even the eating, sleeping, mating, defending is needed for every living entity. But that is not the business for which the living entities have come here. The living entities have become forgotten, forgotten souls. So to, again, remember Krishna, to think of him, to worship him, this principle which he gives. So Sarvadharma Parityajya talks about surrendering to Krishna, and Manmana Bhagavad Bhakta talks about the components of that surrender. How to surrender? Somebody wants to know. So this is actually the most confidential of all knowledge. Prabhupada says how one should not even get distracted to worshipping the different aspects of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One should not develop attraction for any other aspect. There are so many forms, Matsya, Kurma, Varaha, Narsingha, so many other forms. We can worship them so that ultimately they can award us the loving devotion to Krishna. But this form of Krishna is very important for one to worship. And that is actually the last sentence in the scriptures. Vedaishya sarvai ahameva vedyo. When the end of all the Vedas is Krishna only. And he says, I am the writer of the Vedas and Vedantas also. Vedanta Krit. I only have written the Vedanta. Lord says that. Now here Prabhupada is hinting about that verse. Aham eva asami avagre nanyat sat asat param. There is a verse in Bhagavatam. So the Mayavadis misinterpret that verse, saying that in the dawn of creation, the impersonal absolute existed. And then that impersonal absolute has expanded into so many jivas, like all of us. And then when the universe comes to an end, then all these jivas will merge into that impersonal Brahman. That alone will remain. The dawn of creation, the impersonal Brahman remained, and now it is manifesting as so many living entities covered by modes, and at the end everything will merge together and only impersonal will remain. That's what Prabhupada is saying, the correct understanding, he says here. Before the creation, he was there in the eternal abode, and after the annihilation, he will continue to remain. He is not therefore one of the created beings, he is transcendental, he says. So when it says, aham evasam eva grave, the Lord remains, Lord is never alone in the spiritual world. Nor is the Lord just an impersonal being who has no form, name, form, qualities, attributes and things like that. This is one of the blunders that the Mayavadis do. When the scriptures talk about the Lord not having a material form like you and me, they make it as the Lord not having form. If the Lord doesn't have form, then why do the scriptures talk so elaborately about the Lord's name, form, pastimes, qualities, activities, paraphernalia, the spiritual world? Krishna himself is saying that I have a dham, tad dhama paramam mama, yashta sarveshu bhuteshu nashyat surya vinashyati, and all this world will be destroyed, that world will not be destroyed. Krishna is explaining elaborately to Arjuna how this material world, sarubhutani kaunteya prakritimyanti mamikam kalpakshaye punahastani kalpada visrajamyaham, when all this material world will be destroyed, again it is created on the day of Brahma. I create it over and over again. But that world, spiritual world, that is never destroyed. Krishna talks about that. That's my abode, Krishna says. So, Lord is saying, I have an abode. Lord says that he has a form. Lord has explained that. Then, why do the Mayavadis conclude that all these things don't exist and everything? Because they are envious. That is why Lord Krishna told after saying Sarudharam Paritajya, in the next verse he says, this message of Bhagavad Gita should not be given to those who are envious of me. Because the Lord declares the knowledge about himself for the sake of Arjuna as well as for the sake of all the living beings. If Lord doesn't say about himself, then who can say? For example, sometimes a mother or father talking to a child tells about themselves. That you know, my parents were there in that place, and we lived in that particular town, and in this particular age I got married. Because this boy, he didn't know about the mother and father before his marriage, isn't it? Sometimes children foolishly ask the parents, I was also there in your marriage, children ask sometimes. So, children are very too tiny to understand such great things. If mother and father don't reveal about themselves, they cannot understand. Same way, taking compassion on, as here also he says, Kripaya Dina Vatsalaha. Taking compassion upon the souls, the Lord reveals the truth about himself in Bhagavad Gita. Like in the 15th chapter, 19th verse, but before that, even in 18th verse, the Lord says that the foolish soul sometimes think that in conditioned stage we suffer. In liberated stage we merge into God and become God. They think like that. But then Lord declares very clearly, Yasmat charamati toham aksharada picha uttamaha atosmi loke vede cha pratita purushottamaha. He says, my dear Arjuna, this is a very important truth, that kshara and akshara, two types of souls exist. One is a liberated soul, one is a conditioned soul. But I am beyond both conditioned and liberated souls. So either in the conditioned stage or in the liberated stage, the soul can never become equal to God. Krishna declares that. So Mayavadi's conclusion is finished by Krishna in this sloka. Any Mayavadi says, right now we are conditioned, we are suffering now. When we become liberated, we will become God. You should quote this verse. This is 15.18. Yasmat sharam atitoham aksharat api cha uttama. Cha means, not only I am beyond the conditioned souls, I am also beyond the liberated souls also. So conditioned souls, liberated souls, beyond both of them I exist. That is why I am called as Purushottama. No liberated soul can proclaim himself to be Purushottama. But here Krishna says, I am beyond both conditioned and liberated souls. That's why I am called Purushottama. I am celebrated in the Vedas as Purushottama. We can only become Purushottam Das. We cannot become Purushottam. Narottam Das Thakur. But we don't become Purushottam. Purushottam is only Krishna. If you are too fond of becoming Purushottama, become Purushottam Das. You can have Purushottam within your name. So he says that. And then he says a very important verse. Please all of you respond to this. Yo mameva asammudho janati purushottamam sa sarvavet bhajati maam sarva bhavena bharata. Prabhupada used to love this verse and he would quote it several times. Why? Here Krishna says, Yo maam, maam means about me, eva asammudho, without any bewilderment, one who knows this truth about me. Why he uses the word asammudho? Because even after becoming very, very learned in the scriptures, still there are so many souls who don't surrender to Krishna and try to understand the truth by speculation and they become sammudha. They become bewildered. So, one who does not respect the Supreme Lord, one who is not non-envious of the Supreme Lord, cannot understand the truth. You see, even if one is learned, like Romaharshana Sutta was sitting and giving a Bhagavatam class in Naimisharanya, then all the sages and saints were sitting and hearing him. So, at that time when Balaram entered there, all the sages in the assembly stood up and they bowed down with their heads touching the ground. And they offered prayers and worship to Balaram. And this person was the only person, Romaharshana Sutta. He did not pay any heed to Balaramji. Balaram is actually the original spiritual master of all spiritual masters. And he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he deserves all respect. But why he didn't do that? Although he was very learned. He was thoroughly learned in all the scriptures. He was learned in Puranas. He was learned in all the epics. Learned in all the Dharma Shastras, everything. Still, he was falsely proud and he did not get up. And for that he was punished by Balaram. Simply by taking a kusha grass, the Lord touched him and on the spot he died. Of course, Lord Balaram was ready to bring him back to life, but the Brahmana said no. So, that's a great pastime, which teaches, the illustration teaches, that sometimes one becomes very proud of one's learning. Because of which one becomes blinded to see the absolute truth. One cannot understand. Even after a lot of learning, like there are people who have learnt Vedas and Vedanta so deeply, but they cannot come to this simple conclusion, Vedesha Sarvai, Ahameva Vedyo. And after studying all the Vedas, one has to surrender to this beautiful form of Krishna. They have not come to that conclusion. Like, you know, we go to one doctor, one Brihaspati, one doctor. So one day when we went, he said, today I am very busy. I asked, where are you going? He said, I have to go for a 3-day conference on the Shadarshan, you know. So he's going for the Shadarshan. Shadarshan is actually 6 systems of philosophy, which analyzes about the absolute truth from various angles. There are so many people who are rotting through their entire life studying such analysis of philosophies and religion without coming to any conclusion. And they don't follow any religious principles. And they may be breaking the relative principles of religion. They don't develop any bhavana for the Lord. They don't become elevated in their consciousness. And they are simply doing a mental word jugglery all their life. And they get nowhere. Simply researching in religion. Some people have even done research on Jiva Goswami or Chaitanya. There's a person, an American has written literature on Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also. He's done his doctorate. But that doesn't make any difference to these people. Even after knowing so much, they are not doing anything. That's why Krishna is saying here, Yomam eva asam mudo. One who knows about truth that I am beyond the liberated and conditioned souls. What will they do? Janati Purushottam. They know me as a Purushottama. What they do? He is a Sarvavit. He's saying, he is knower of everything. He says, you know, there is nothing he does not know. He knows everything. If you know Krishna, you know everything. Because Krishna is everything. There is nothing outside of Krishna. There is only one thing outside of Krishna. Anybody knows? That is Maya. That is outside of Krishna. And that Maya is also that which is not. That means that is also not outside. That's also Krishna's. people who think Maya is outside Krishna and not see Maya's connection to Krishna, they are in Maya. But devotees can see Maya and see Maya's connection to Krishna and understand that Maya also comes within Krishna only. One of the energies of Krishna is Maya. Mama Maya, Jagatraya. They see Krishna's Maya as Krishna's energy only. So such devotees are able to transcend Maya, able to go beyond Maya. But the foolish materialists, they see Maya only and they think Maya is outside God. And they see Maya to be superior to God. And they think God doesn't exist. Only Maya exists. That's why they believe in that which does not exist as the ultimate thing in their life, foolishly. That is why, just like once Brahma, when Brahma had become infatuated once by his own daughter, once his mind had become polluted momentarily, seeing that the rishis and munis and the Kumaras, they all prayed to Brahma to give up that lusty mentality. But Brahma was not able to give up because lust is very deep-rooted and strong. So then Brahma turned to, rishis and Kumaras, they all turned to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and then prayed to him, "Oh, my dear Lord, Brahma is the first created living being. He is very dear to you. How can he maintain this lusty mentality? Please relieve him of this." Then the Lord gave the Sadbuddhi to him. And then he immediately came to his senses. At that time, Brahma felt very bad about himself. So he gave up his body at that time. So when he gave up his body and assumed a new body that time. So that body came down. When it came down, it came as the twilight. In the twilight of the evening hours, there were many demons and asuras watching the twilight. And the twilight which came the evening appeared like a very beautiful apsara for them. Very beautiful woman. And they were all becoming extremely lusty. All the demons. So that had actually no substance in it. But it was extremely attractive to them. That is the meaning of Maya. Maya is like that. Maya has no substantial thing to offer us. But she is very powerful in alluring us. She can only allure the living entity, but the living entity cannot get any tangible profit, benefit by working hard and serving Maya. So that is Maya. So these demons saw that and became attracted. Similarly, Maya is extremely attractive for the conditioned souls who do not know Krishna and they see Maya to be separate from Krishna. But devotees can see Maya and Krishna side by side as Vyadvyasa. And they can see how Maya is also... what is Maya? Just like the sun absorbs the water from the ocean and forms a cloud. That very same cloud covers our vision to see the sun. Similarly, Krishna has used his own energy to create Maya, which covers our vision of Krishna. Because we don't want to see Krishna, we want to be independent. So the sun only creates the cloud and the cloud only covers our vision. Similarly, Krishna only creates Maya and that Maya covers our vision because we want to be covered. We don't want to see Krishna. So Krishna covers our vision. Like that. That's why here he says, Yoma meva asammudho. Those people who become free from foolishness. Asammudho. Janati purushottamam. Those who know the purushottama Lord. And then what they do? They are sasarvavid. They are all knowing. He says, sarva bhavena bharata. With all their hearts they engage in my service. So now how they become sasarvavid? You may wonder. How can a devotee become a sasarvavid? All knowing. Sarvavit means what? Vit means knower. Sarvavit means all knowing. They also become all knowing devotees. How? Prabhupada explains this secret. He says, if a man goes to a country like America or Russia or Europe, you know, it's a huge country with all its complex systems functioning. Imagine he has to go to each department and know. He has to know the water department, electricity department, communication department, everything. So for him, it may take several years of research to know how they are working. But if he makes friendship with President of the United States and just sits with him for 2-3 days, President will just take a paper and pen and show to him how he manages the whole country and what all are the things in his country and how the things run. Similarly, when Arjuna took shelter of Krishna, Krishna explained the material and spiritual world in 2 verses. Bhumira ponala vayukammano buddhireva chahankareti yamme Bhinna prakritirashtada. This is material world, Arjuna. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, false ego. All these things constitute my material energies. And then he said, Aparayam itasanyam prakritim vidhi me param jiva bhuta mahabaho. Pedam dharitra jagat. This is spiritual world. Finished. In two verses, Krishna concluded the whole knowledge. So, by making friendship with the Lord, one can become a sarvavet. That is the only possibility to become a sarvavet. Sa sarvavet. But then after becoming all-knowing, what a person does? Bhajati maam. That is the result. If somebody says, you know, I am a very great devotee of Krishna, you have to ask him, what are you doing for Krishna? We have to ask. He should do bhajati maam. The same thing comes in another verse. Aham sarvasya prabhuvo matasaram prabhatate iti matva. Those who agree that I am the source of everything, what they should be doing? Iti matva bhajante maam. They should become my devotee and worship me and serve me. He says, iti matva bhajante maam buddha. They become very intelligent people. Bhava samanvitaha. In both the verses, the word bhava is there. Sarva bhavena bharata. Bhava samanvitaha. See the word. That means this bhava is actually Krishna bhavanamrit. That's what is being spoken here. So they should become Krishna bhavana bhavit. Krishna conscious. And then they should serve Krishna in that consciousness. That is actually being explained here. So they become all-knowing. Truly all-knowing, he says. So, all-knowing devotee should become a Krishna's devotee and serve him. That is the conclusion of Krishna himself in the scripture, and that is the most confidential knowledge. So here, in this series of verses, Narada explains how these Bhaktivedantas invested this most confidential knowledge in the heart of Narada. And Narada could practice this knowledge very nicely. This has a very deep significance also. Because the disciple requires a certain type of qualification for the guru to offer him this most confidential knowledge. In fact, in the Manusamhita it is said, it's better for a brahmana to carry the knowledge with himself and die without giving it to anybody until he finds a qualified person to receive it, instead of offering the knowledge to some quiet fool who is unfit for it. That is the verse in Manusamhita which says that. So, the Vedic knowledge, especially the spiritual knowledge, and most importantly, the knowledge of the personality of Godhead, is actually understandable only by a person who has certain type of qualification. Only to him that most confidential knowledge is revealed, not to anybody and everybody. Because, if the knowledge is given to someone who is unqualified, he may misinterpret it. For example, Bhagavad Gita was misinterpreted by one politician, big politician from India, who was the president of India. Prabhupada quotes his name. Such people, if knowledge is given to such people who are not submissive to the Lord, who are not non-envious, who are not surrendered, who are not devotees of the Lord, they will take this knowledge and misinterpret it. It's like giving a garland to a monkey who will tear it into pieces. So they will misuse the knowledge, they will misinterpret the knowledge. Two big politicians from India, Dr. Radhakrishnan and Rajagopalachari, both of them misinterpreted Bhagavad Gita and Mahabharata. You will see that. They didn't give the straight purport what the Lord says. Prabhupada says, at least according to Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prabhupada writes in one purport. You may say this scripture, that scripture, but at least in Bhagavad Gita it's clearly declared. And Bhagavad Gita is Gita Upanishad, the sar of all Upanishads. Sarva Upanishad Gavo, Dogda Gopal Nandana. For all Upanishads, the cream is Gita Upanishad. In that law, Krishna says he is Supreme Personality of Godhead. At least theoretically, one will be forced to accept Krishna as God. That's what Krishna himself says that in Bhagavad Gita. So, people who are proud of their scholarly aptitude will fail to perceive this supreme truth, which is most confidential. They cannot understand. That is why it is very important to understand the meaning of the term mercy. Mercy is just a small five-letter word, but it has a very deep meaning. Very, very deep meaning. Many people even go to other devotees and ask, please give me your mercy. What does this mercy mean? For example, if somebody has achieved the mercy of the spiritual master, many things will happen to that person. One is, he will be able to develop a very firm faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. See, developing a great knowledge is not as great as developing deep faith. For example, somebody may be able to remember vast amount of knowledge. So he can be considered to be like computer with the maximum capacity hard disk. Nothing more than that. It's like 80 GB hard disk. If somebody can store a lot of information on their head. Yeah. What is so great about that? But one may not develop faith even after acquiring so much knowledge. Because acquiring knowledge is not equivalent to acquiring faith. They two are two different things. Understanding is also not equivalent to faith. Somebody may understand, but they may not have faith in what they heard. Many people say, yeah, I heard you what you said, but I have not developed enough faith. Isn't it? So that faith is a manifestation of mercy. When one gets the mercy of the spiritual master, then one develops a firm faith that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just like Gopinath Acharya told Sarvam Bhattacharya that you have not yet achieved the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Chaitanya. And Bhattacharya asked him, how do you say that? How do you know that you have achieved the mercy and I have not achieved the mercy? And Gopinath Acharya told him, it's very simple. One who has attained the mercy of the Lord would have developed a firm faith in Krishna as a Supreme. And developing a firm faith is not some imaginary devotion or sentimental ecstasy. Like Prabhupada says, imaginative ecstasy or sentimental speculation. No. Like somebody may proclaim that I have developed faith. How do you know that? You have to see from his practical life. How much is he detached from material engagements? How much is he sold out to Krishna? One can easily see that. Just like Prabhupada told to George Harrison. George Harrison asked Prabhupada, Swamiji, we see so many Bhagavad Gitas available from India, but you seem to be saying that this Bhagavad Gita is the only proper edition of Bhagavad Gita and everything else is bogus. And that is a little difficult for us to digest. And then Prabhupada said, you see our ISKCON devotees, how they are living their life. And you see the others who have written Bhagavad Gita. What is their life, you see. There are so many Bhagavad Gitas in the market. You can see that. Although people read it as a scholarly exercise, or some people like to memorize some Sanskrit shlokas to occasionally quote to their friends to show that they are also knowledgeable in Sanskrit. That's what the Bhagavad Gita is used for by most of the people. So, Prabhupada said, but you can see these devotees, they have become sold out to Krishna. The American boys and girls, he was talking about them, how you know, they have shaved up their head, you know, they are wearing kantimala, they are wearing the dress of a devotee, women are wearing saris, they are ready to take the broomstick in their hand and sweep in Vrindavan. Just look at their lifestyle. How they have totally, wholeheartedly, they have sold out themselves to Krishna's service. And then Prabhupada said this famous sentence. He said, if one claims to be a devotee of Krishna, he should be addicted to Krishna. One should become a, just like people become a cinema addict or a chess addict or a football addict or a cricket addict, one should become Krishna addict. Then, that is Sarva Bhavena Bharata. So one can see that. So that is mercy of the spiritual master. One always likes to talk about Krishna, do service to Krishna. One wants to propagate the mission of Krishna. He is breathing Krishna. He sees the whole world as Sarva Krishna Mayam Jagat. Such a person actually has attained the mercy of the spiritual master. Because he has developed such a firm faith in Krishna. And he can see that everything around the world that one sees, he sees in relation to Krishna. That is one form of mercy. And also mercy means to develop faith in things that we cannot see with our eyes, especially the spiritual truths. It's not only about Krishna, there are many things we hear from the Shastras which are difficult for us to comprehend based on our empirical approach or with our limited imperfect senses. But a devotee develops very firm faith in those things, the spiritual truths, because of the mercy of the spiritual master. And one who has attained mercy also gets the realizations in his heart to clearly discriminate what is falsity, what is true, what is pure, what is impure, what is beneficial for me, what is harmful for me, what should I do, what should I not do. One gets the sadbuddhi, the right kind of buddhi, to do the right thing at the right time, to speak the right thing at the right time. So one doesn't become bewildered. One comes out of this bewildered sammudata, and one becomes actually asammuda by that. Yeah. Here is a question. The example of sun and cloud, which is for those who don't want to see the sun or Krishna. For them, cloud Maya comes in front of him. People ask, why Krishna knowingly creates cloud Maya for living entities? If they want to be in illusion, then why living entity wants to be in illusion? If Lord is merciful, then he would not create Maya. Then all the living entities could easily approach him. This is the argument we used to make in our early days. This is the same argument we would make, and practically every student who comes to Krishna consciousness makes this argument. Actually, we think we want to see Krishna. Actually, we don't want to see. We want to see only Maya. You can easily see that. If you want to know how you originally rebelled against Krishna and came to the material world, a sample of that rebellion is available in your heart even now. See for yourself, into your own heart. You can easily see that. So, this sample of rebellion gives us an understanding that originally we have rebelled against Krishna and we wanted to be away from him. You can easily see that. So, we may say sometimes that I don't want to be away from Krishna, I want to see Krishna. Some people even say, if I see Krishna face to face once at least, then I will surrender to him completely. Many people say that. So, it is simply they are asking such things so that they can escape from devotional service. But they are seeing devotees, they are hearing the scripture. In fact, hearing scripture is equivalent to seeing Krishna face to face. One has faith that Krishna exists. So, Krishna creates the cloud because we wanted the cloud of Maya. We wanted to see something other than Krishna. And I don't know whoever wrote this question, you can ask yourself, how much strong tendency we have for sense gratification? You can see that. Inclination we have. From there you can understand that actually we are more interested in sense gratification than Krishna. Right now we are here only because somehow devotees have dragged us and put us in the association. And given a chance, we would run away from devotees. So then how can we say that we want to see Krishna? Because the gopis of Vrindavan who are seeing Krishna, they have cast away everything of the world. All the worldly relationships, the worldly enjoyments, everything for the sake of Krishna. We can see we have a strong tendency for Krishna, and a strong tendency for sense gratification. And based on that, we can understand that we don't want Krishna. See, Krishna is so merciful, although we don't want him, still he is putting us here in the Bhagavatam class. Give us an opportunity to, you know, somehow or other attract us towards him. This guy is giving the scriptures, he is giving the holy name, he is giving the holy rivers, the holy sthalas, and so many things like that. In the Bhagavad Gita, there is a verse, it says, Naham prakasha sarvasya yogamaya samavrataha. Mudoyum na bijanati. Krishna says that. There is a curtain between me and the living entities, Arjuna. I can see them, but they can't see me. And as soon as they become sincere in their life, in their heart, immediately that curtain opens. And you can see Krishna. Simply, the only one key is sincerity. That is also one of the aspects of mercy. When one gets the mercy, a devotee becomes more and more sincere. And more dedicated, more and more committed to the spiritual master and the mission of the spiritual master. So, this is also, that sincerity also comes as a mercy. Now, somebody may ask, then how can we become sincere? That is in your hands only. You have the free will. There are past conditionings which are pushing you to do the wrong things. There is upbringing from your family which has given so many kinds of bad impressions, bad sanskaras, it's likely. You have had many dirty association of friends and other things in the world, and they are also pushing you down. Despite the current of all these things, still one can uplift oneself by rightly using the free will. Just like Gajendra was caught in his leg by the crocodile firmly. It was excruciating pain he was undergoing. Still, even at such a situation, he picked up a lotus flower and offered it to the Lord. So he was doing archana for the Lord when Lord Vishnu came. Proving this fact that despite all conditionings and pushings and pullings and difficulties and adversities, a devotee can continue to serve the Lord using his free will in the right manner. It is not impossible. And when one executes sincerity in the presence of all adversities. For example, if everything is falling apart and you are in difficulty, in such a time you surrender to the Lord even a bit, then the Lord will give his helping hand more. You will get more support. Now, our problem is even when everything is favorable and comfortable, we are trying to put our head outside and look for sense gratification. That is our problem. When so many things are favorable, all around. When, like you know, some devotees, even in Prabhupada's time, Prabhupada created all facility. He made beautiful temples, he gave them deities to worship, he gave them book distribution, and always Prabhupada would keep a big jar of gulab jamun at the doorstep, big, big gulab jamuns. ISKCON bullets, Prabhupada used to call it. So even after giving all these things, there were some devotees, in inverted quotes you can put, some of the early day devotees, they would leave San Francisco temple, they would go to the neighborhood, there would be a donut shop there, there would be ice cream shop, they would be eating ice cream there. Temple, everything is available, nice prasad, everything. But no, we want something other than what we get in the temple. So they would go there. And Prabhupada would ask, where are the devotees? Prabhupada would take a stick and then he would walk out. And then somebody would tell Prabhupada, Prabhupada, they are in the neighborhood shop. Shop, what are they doing there? And Prabhupada would come out in the street and then go to the neighborhood shop and peep inside. You know. And the devotees were sitting and eating ice cream, they would bow down below the table. And they would be watching when Prabhupada is going. You know, how Prabhupada pulled them up? Because they loved Prabhupada so much. That is why they shaved up or they wore saris. They were staying in the temple and they would chant, dance and do everything. But then on the other hand, the sense gratificatory desires are pulling them in the other direction. Both of them are pulling. Prabhupada's love on one direction and sense gratification on the other, it was pulling. So I don't think we are all in a different situation. We are in a similar situation. Till we develop a very strong, firm attachment to Krishna, till that degree the Maya's glittering will always be alluring us. But you can very confidently say that if one has developed a firm attachment for Krishna, the Maya completely fizzles out. One can clearly see what is Maya, what is Krishna, like Vedavyas is saying. Maya and Krishna side by side, and one will opt for Krishna, one will not opt for Maya. Now we are seeing only Maya and hardly Krishna. It's because of our firm attachment to Maya. We will get to see Krishna more and more as we surrender more, as we become more sincere. And it will be very easy. As it is said, susukam kartam avyayam. Devotion service becomes very easy for a devotee who is sincere. The problem is we are not sincere, we are mischievous. We are mischievous, it is difficult. So, the mercy comes in various ways. Dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upyantiti. That is also the Lord's mercy. Teshami vanagam partham aham ajnana jamtamah nashayami atma babasto jnana deepena basvata. Enlightenment that comes in the heart is also a mercy. Like, you know, when you are faced with Maya face to face, suddenly Krishna enters your heart and enlightens you. Take care, this is Maya. Don't fall into the trap. That means Krishna's mercy is coming in your life. Dadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam pyantite. I will give you the mercy by which you can come back to me. So the right kind of eyes with which you can discriminate the right and wrong, that is also actually mercy that comes in one's life. Also mercy means to be achieving something for which we don't deserve it. We don't deserve it. That means many times one is blessed with the association of a devotee. And the devotee says some nice enlightening things and immediately it destroys the ignorance in our heart. And then the heart becomes clean and one feels uplifted. That is also mercy. So association of a devotee is also called as mercy. Especially in that at a time when one is having a clouded consciousness. So one achieves such mercy by the mercy of spiritual master. And the mercy of the spiritual master can be attracted by sincere execution of devotional service. So here, how Narada attracted the Bhaktivedantas. So he says that they gave him the most confidential knowledge. Guru will reveal more and more to the disciple, to the degree the disciple surrenders to him. Same formula which Krishna adopts. Yetama prapadyante tam sukhe bhajamyaham. Ramanuja did not reveal the meaning of Sarvadhanam Paritya Dasharati until Dasharati was ready to give up his false pride as a scholar. And then he revealed the meaning to him. Goshtipurna also, when Dasarathi went to him, served him for several months. While going, he asked Goshtipurna, what is your instruction for me? He said, you know, those who are wise, those who are truly wise, They are like the trees that are loaded with fruits, and they always bow down, they are always humble. On the other hand, those who have not attained the mercy, when they are very learned, they become proud. So the learning of the scriptures makes foolish people proud. But a wise person, he always bows down. And the knowledge, the more the knowledge increases, the more he becomes humble. So he was telling that. That's all he told them. And sent him back. He didn't tell him that you are proud. He didn't tell him that. And he didn't reveal the meaning of Saradharana Paritaja either to him. So that means the deeper and deeper purports of the scriptures will become revealed to us as we attain more and more and more mercy. So we have to fill up our hearts with the mercy that comes from various directions. Actually, our organization is such a beautiful organization. Our whole day, our whole life is simply a life of accumulating mercy. Like in the morning, we appreciate the spiritual master's mercy by singing the Guru Vandana. Then we appreciate the Mahaprabhu's mercy in the second para. Third para, we appreciate the deity's mercy. Fourth para, we appreciate the prasadam's mercy. Isn't it? These are all different forms of mercy. And then we accept the charanamrit mercy. So then we offer puja to Prabhupada, and our then we are enveloped by Prabhupada's mercy. You can see that. Then we get also protection from Narasingadeva in the morning, and Vrindadevi, who is the service allotter in spiritual world. Then we bow down to her and take her blessings. We become enveloped by her mercy, blessings. Then we chant the holy name, which is directly addressed to the divine couple Radha and Krishna. And we come in their audience. We get their audience, and they are hearing us. So we get their mercy by that. We offer worship to spiritual master, the Goswamis, the Acharyas. So our every day a devotee should spend remembering this, that I am simply accumulating, increasing my spiritual bank balance, accumulating more and more mercy. Just as a businessman is fond of accumulating more and more money, a devotee should be eager to accumulate more and more mercy. And the more the mercy, then the more the realization of Krishna, as Krishna speaks, as we hear in this verse, one becomes asammudha. Yoma meva asammudo janati purushottamam. One can see Krishna more and more clearly. One can see the scriptural truths more and more clearly. And everything becomes acceptable. There is nothing, there is no contradiction in the scriptures. There is no contradiction in the words of the acharyas. There is no ambiguity, no confusion, no doubt remains. And the devotee cheerfully executes devotion service and dances his way back to Godhead, having attained, having become a vehicle of the spiritual master's mercy. So here Narada became exactly like that. Narada very faithfully served the Bhaktivedantas by feeding them prasad, by washing the place, and by taking permission from them and accepting their remnants, and by taking permission from them and sitting and hearing the Krishna Katha from them. Tatran Vaham Krishna Katha Pragayatam Anugrahena. See the word anugraha is said. Anugrahena shrinavam manohara tashraddaya menu padam vishrinvataha priyashravasyanga mama bhavadruchi. So he heard the katha from them about the Supreme Lord Krishna. By hearing from them, his attraction for Krishna increased. So we are all very fortunate to hear from Prabhupada's Bhaktivedanta purports. Prabhupada writes how Krishna is the Supreme Person. One should meditate on the form of Krishna. And one should bow down to Krishna. One should glorify Krishna. One should serve Krishna. And one should mold one's life in such a way that all day one's activity should be such that one doesn't forget Krishna for a moment. When one leads one's life like this, then at the time of death one can remember Krishna. So Prabhupada is giving the cream of all knowledge to us in his purports. So Bhaktivedantas, they all gave the same way. Knowledge to him, and then he developed Mama Bhavad Ruchi. The Ruchi developed in his heart. Great taste for Krishna. That got awakened. So the Shastras don't say knowledge should be awakened in your heart. The Shastras say the faith should be awakened in one's heart by hearing the narrations of the glories and pastimes of the Supreme Lord. So, Yadrucheya Mat Katado Jata Shraddhastu Yapuman. The Shraddha should awaken. One should actually pray for Shraddha. Please give me the Shraddha. Give me the firm faith in you so that I may surrender to you, I may become fully devoted to you and may never turn my eyes to sense gratification in the world. Because sense gratification is simply misery. So, Narada boy, he was actually not having any big qualifications. He was born in the house of a maid servant. And he wasn't very educated, he was a young boy. The only qualifications he had was that he wasn't too talkative, he was alpabhashini. Dante, he was controlled in his senses. Akridanake, he wasn't interested in cricket. Of course, Akridanake means he wasn't playful. He was interested in sports so much. And in modern terms, you can say interested in cricket. He was interested. And he wasn't... And he was very submissive. With these qualifications, he approached the Bhaktivedantas and served them with his heart. And as a result, the Krishna consciousness awakened in his heart. And then he could worship Krishna and see Lord Krishna face to face. And the next lifetime he became Narada, the great devotee, the supreme devotee who is so much adored by all devotees in the scriptures. So in the same manner, in our life also, as Prabhupada talks about the Narada, so we are given opportunity to render varieties of services. So we are all actually, in one sense, we are serving the founder Acharya for a moment, Prabhupada, by serving our spiritual masters. Ultimately, we are serving him. So we are also serving A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, who is also a Bhaktivedanta. By serving them, serving him with full sincerity, the knowledge and faith for Krishna will get awakened in our heart. The scripture will never remain scripture in the paper. The scripture will become a tangible reality in our heart if you sincerely execute devotion service. Thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Bhaktavinda ki. Thank you very much.